This is the Technical Difficulties. We're playing two of these people online because two of these people will be joining me as usual. Chris Joel.
Hello.
Gary Brannan.
Mr. Trudinic, right? Mr. Trudinic, right? His onions, these is too small. His tires, they're too big.
And Matt Gray.
Hi. The way this works is... is that we've all picked...
Stay with us, Matt. Stay with us.
...articles off Wikipedia, stuck them in the envelopes each. There are six envelopes, two each. Tom will pick an envelope. And have you shuffled them? You should probably
shuffle I've shuffled them several times while you were giggling at your own joke before we started recording.
Tom will now pick one envelope.
Yep. And I don't know which person wrote whichever title is in here.
Which means two of us will be lying about what's in the article and one of us will not be.
Hence the name.
And all I have to do is work out which of these three reprobates. The first thing I'm going to do is ask you to pronounce the obviously Welsh thing that's on here. No, you know what? I'm going to pass the word and we're going to start with Gary this time.
Right.
Gary, how do you pronounce it? And what is that?
That would be Kelusiradvan.
I mean, that was competent. That was. I mean, I know.
Believable.
You spent a year in ABBA, I know that, but not Aberystwyth, just the band ABBA.
Yeah, I understudied for Benny for several years. Mostly in the bit between their last album and this one.
Yeah.
Anytime anybody asked in the pub, aren't you Benny for ABBA?
Yes, I'm Benny from ABBA.
Is that meant to be a beard? I've never seen someone mime a beard.
Oh, I thought he was hiding the lack of beard.
You could have grabbed the tinsel. You could have put your T-shirt over. But no, we've got...
Beard.
Yes.
We've got an imitation of the Predator. Carry on. Gary, the Welsh name. You pronounced that competently, I think. What is it?
Yes, it is a dragon that lives... a mythical dragon that lives in a cave.
As opposed to those actual dragons.
This is Wales.
Komodo dragon?
It's a dragon in a kimono. a mythical dragon that lives in a cave just outside the town of McConfleth.
A dragon that lives in a cave outside that place. All right, Matt.
Celwyddi wi'r Drefon.
Oh, yeah, you lived in Wales for a bit as well, didn't he?
He did. What is it, Matt?
It is an unspecified beast.
Are you sure it's not a dragon in a kimono? No.
Chris.
Celwyddi wi'r Drefon.
I mean, you're all doing that much better than I would. All right.
It is a small town in Glamorganshire noted for not existing.
Ooh, noted for not existing. All right, we will start with Gary then. Tell me about the dragon in the cave.
The dragon serves soup.
That's Button Moon, mate.
It's the clangers,
It's the clangers, and f*** off.
Yes.
I thought soup dragon was...
No, soup dragon's the clangers.
Oh!
Here he goes with his big out of the park now, right in your face.
I think you'll find it was in Finland.
Anyway, yeah, it's cowl, you know, the popular Welsh stew, and that's what it's known for.
Actually, I don't know that, and I worry you might have just tried to get a fast one past me there.
Well, cowl is a Welsh soup. It's like a stew, a bit like Irish stew.
Only
same
Welsh.
Same kind of thing, only Welsh, and you put cheese in it. It's very nice. And yeah, the dragon lives in a cave. It brews up soup for the townspeople, which is served in at the start of the year.
This is absolutely from the clangers. This has to be.
Bloody, where do you think they got the idea? All right, so where do you think they got the idea for the clangers from? That's one of the other things. It is the inspiration for the soup dragon in the
clangers. Oh, I've just brought it back, that has. Well, I was almost ready to do the big strike that
well,
I'm massively
imagine
overconfident
you were.
With. But then you said it was the inspiration for... All right, Matt, an unspecified beast.
The beast lives in the belly of the mountain.
Right.
Near Battersea Coed. In North Wales?
There is a mountain near there. There's quite a lot of mountains near there.
Yeah.
Tom with his big book of Welsh facts there.
Oh, yes, I see. There is a mountain quite nearby.
There are mountains.
I mean, I realise that I'm on shaky ground here based on previous form, but I've been to Battersea Coed. There is a mountain near it. Quite a lot of them.
Yeah.
Chris, a small town that's noted for not existing. Is this the Welsh Brigadoon?
No, it's rather more prosaic.
Okay.
Christmas Eve, 1831.
Right.
The Turnpike Trusts get together and decide they're not making enough money.
Turnpike Trusts?
Turnpike Trusts, people who owned roads. Very big from the 1760s to the 18... Help me, Gary... some things.
Adaptation of highways by local authorities, so probably about 1880.
Between those times.
Yep.
And realise that they can make more money over Christmas and New Year for people travelling to see their families, particularly on Boxing Day with people who are poorer. So in a rush with the local magistrate, they get this town created, which means they can put an entry and an exit gate, which serves the three companies and the four roads they control. So this town is a crossroads with a farmhouse on it, and then overnight, four turnpike gates and four turnpike huts.
Oh, that's such a good story. That's catnip to me. That's the sort of story I would end up in Wales at the ruins
looking
of a turnpike gate.
Crossroads.
Looking for, I hope that's true. Because what you've just done is given me a video idea there, so thank you for that. Is it still there? Or is it just a historical...
I don't know. I read about it.
He's not talking about the two of these people are lying anymore. He wants just, to know
yeah, yeah. yeah just turn the cameras off. I don't know, because it didn't exist, but it did, but it didn't. So who knows where it's buried in the paperwork, I guess.
All right.
Since it's sort of marched on paper only.
My favourite thing here is you got us all to pronounce it, not that any of the four of us speak any Welsh.
Yeah, that's true, but he can tell. He can tell.
It's in his book, you know, of Wales.
Right, Gary, I think you've literally just got the phrase soup dragon and hoped that I did not know enough about the clangers to get that past me.
Well, you didn't. You thought it was...
But you said it was Bolton Moon, so I was right.
that aside, I got the soup dragon reference, albeit to the wrong kids' TV show. But
so I got it wrong, but I'm going to claim rightness.
No, I'm going to claim that you try and get a clangers reference past me, so I don't think it's you. Matt, unspecified beast. I think it's either Matt or Chris. And I
well, yes,
think...
Well, yes, because you crossed
his name out, yeah.
I think it's Matt. And the reason I think that is because with the apostrophe in there, I think this is like two words combined together somehow. And I think that's more likely to be that sort of thing than a place that someone would invent for a toll gate. Matt, I think it's you. Am I right?
I showed Chris how to type the apostrophe on the label machine. Oh.
The second I saw it, I went, that's Chris's, because he had to find out how to do
an apostrophe. And I was scared it'd be a giveaway because, I needed some articles to be somebody something to disguise it.
What does it mean?
You're going to hate me.
Yep.
What that means is this town is a lie. And not only is that a lie, but you won't find it on Wikipedia either. I made that up. So I could look you in the face and say, this town I'm telling you about is a lie. And the town was a lie.
All three of you were lying, just in different ways.
He was telling the truth because he was telling that town was a lie. That was
he
true.
He said from the very beginning that it was a lie. So that's
He never existed.
I want to play back the tape on that. That's
unbelievable, Schnauzer.
Well done.
Oh, I'm in awe. Wow.
No, piss off.
You probably want to take out the other envelope that says the same just to make sure it got picked as well.
Wow.
Enjoy making your video. any fucking crossroads in Wales, you can spin that bullshit.
Right. There's five envelopes left. Should we do another one?
So this isn't a sponsor message because we don't do those.
No.
Not yet. A, no one's offered us enough. And B, no one's offered us anything.
But if you wish to...
You have to have very small nipples for him to grab.
Anyone?
Or just close together. No, mind a distance.
We're talking to you about a YouTube channel.
Yes, if there is anything from the technical difficulties from now on, 2022 and forward, it will not be on the Matt and Tom channel, it will not be on the Tom Scott channel, it will be on the technical difficulties channel.
What?
Could you not?
Don't look there! Don't look! You can look. But you won't find...
This is take eight, okay? This is take eight. And every single time, someone has yelled and Chris has left frame in exasperation. Look, there are links on the screen everywhere.
All over!
If you would like to see our stuff in future, I mean, God help you, but if you would...
It's there.
It's there.
Go there. Do the click the thing.
Right. Five envelopes remain, two from Matt, two from Gary, one from Chris, which I'm assured has been swapped out so it does not have the same clue again. Pick one at random, and our second topic for this show is The plot of the Rue Saint-Nicaise. I don't know.
Well, Rue is French. So
Rue is French.
Saint-Nicaise.
Saint-Nicaise. All right. And we start with Chris.
This was an attempt to assassinate the Emperor Napoleon.
Assassination attempted of Napoleon. Gary, the plot of the Rue Saint-Nicaise.
This is a famous and notable French legal case. Excitingly about landholding.
Landholding. The reason I'm immediately sceptical is I feel like this is you drawing from your vast knowledge of archives and such. But we'll see.
You nailed me down in the last one as being too obvious in picking things of which I had some kind of contextual relationship to.
Mm.
You just can't do anything right for him,
can
you?
No.
I mean, you can't do anything right if you mention something from history and archives, as you seem to do quite often.
Do you know what archives contain, Tom?
Everything
that happened in the...
Matt, the plot of the Rue Saint-Nicaise.
He's bloody historical as well. You didn't have a crack at it.
Yeah, but he assumes I know nothing.
Ah, right, yeah.
It is a play about the attempted assassination of Emperor Napoleon.
Lads, I realise we've been doing this show a while now, but you do not have to dick about with me every single show.
There is no show without that, Tom.
Right. Just to be irritating, Matt, I'm going to start with you on the way back. Go on, then. It's a play about the assassination attempt on Napoleon, is it? You start. Tell me about this assassination plot. Who's the play by, Matt?
Alan Bennett.
No, it's not. You just tried to think of any playwright and you came up with Alan Bennett. Alan Bennett, sad northern poet, famed for his tellings of everyday life.
To be fair, they did try to assassinate Napoleon nearly every day.
I said it in an English accent. It's A-L-A-I-N-B-E-N-E-T-T-E.
Alain Bennett.
Alain Bennett.
There happens to be... we're going to roll with this. We're going to roll with this as far as we reasonably can, Matt. There happens to be a French playwright whose name is Alain Bennett.
I was walking along the Rue Saint-Michel on my way to get a tram car into Paris. I had just bought myself a cream horn with my friend Dudley.
Dudley.
Un Pierre.
You've seen it, have you?
Yeah, it's really good.
Written in 1983.
Really?
Premiered at the Jewsbury Playhouse.
Why am I writing this down? The Dewsbury Playhouse.
It's a real thing.
It's just a Wendy house in someone's back garden.
It is.
Is there a Dewsbury Playhouse?
I'm not confirming anything because I don't want to incriminate my friend here.
You are going to be so angry when you Google for Alain Bennett.
Oh, boy.
Tell us about that truth then, Gary, the legal case about landholding.
Yes, so...
Come on, we've got to keep the spirits up after Alain Bennett. You've got to be able to follow that with a witty repartee about ancient landholding. Come on.
The road itself in ancient, it's a former pilgrim's path. It goes through Amiens. Obviously, you can tell it's French by the name. And it turns out through a series of coincidences which need not bother us around this table. There was a dispute as to who owned the land because the route was going to be used for the construction of the TGV. And at which point it turned out that the land was in fact owned by, well, was found to be likely owned by a dog. The problem in the... I said through a series of things that need not concern it, but it was likely owned by a dog, a Dalmatian, as it transpired, because of the way the land had been passed down through corporate and non-corporate entities.
Are you sure it wasn't just someone from Dalmatia? Just because that
was also a Dalmatian.
That was the joke, Gary. Yes,
yes, I know.
That's what I was saying.
It turned out the dog might own it because it'd be passed through various corporate and non-corporate entities. So it ended up in one of those classic French court cases where, of course, the dog was called to the stand. Did not make an excellent witness. But the challenge in it was partly the fact it was owned by the dog, but partly working out which dog, because of the many litters of puppies that would
there
have
There were 101 to choose from.
Since the original dog.
See, I'm tempted to just cross this out and give Chris the point at this moment. Nevertheless, Chris, The plot of the Roussan Essays.
Was an attempt on the Emperor Napoleon's life in, I think, 1801. It's best known because of the play that was written about it in the 80s by Alain Benet.
There's going to be a load of people under the age of 30 and outside Britain here who are going, I have no idea who Alan Bennett is. Just take a moment, Google it. It'll all make sense.
Alan Bennett is Napoleon.
Icon hat. Dour expression.
So, of course, we marched into Spain.
And, it was far too
warm. I couldn't
warm.
Get on with the weather.
Carry on, Chris. 1801 plot.
I think it was 1801. It's another Christmas Eve special because of the tinsel. Hang on, let me remember all this in order. They got a big wine barrel, like a big distiller's wine barrel, and attached it to a cart. Didn't just put it on the cart, actually attached it to the cart. And filled it full of grape shot and gunpowder and shit, and then banded it with iron, and then parked it on the route that Napoleon was going to the opera on. Except not, because bad plotting. At one point, the guy who's meant to be on the wagon...
When you say on the wagon?
apparently Napoleon's coach driver was drunk.
Oh, right,
He wasn't drunk. Gives like 30 sous to this little girl. And this is where it all gets a bit sad, because the little girl's holding the horse. The guy who's meant to trigger the fuse panics when Napoleon's gone past. She's still holding the horse while this guy's having a piss, and only innocent bystanders got exploded.
Oh, right, okay.
Napoleon apparently slept through the whole thing.
Right.
And they've worked out from his diaries that they think he was dreaming of a battle he lost and woke up screaming about it, where after his brain had put the explosion into his dream. Huh. And then he went and slept through the opera.
Right.
I like how he's talking about a gunpowder plot at the beginning of November.
No, it's Christmas.
It's New Year.
It's almost... If it's not Chris... I don't want to do the sort of Les Dennis, I'll give you the money myself.
Oh, come on.
Chris.
Yes, of course it is.
I admire quite how far you ploughed forward with that, Matt.
The snow was piling up. He was still going while he could breathe.
Chris, thank you for putting something in there that was not a fake Welsh village.
I mean, that never happened either, but...
Oh, don't even start.
And thank you, Tom, for starting with Chris, because if you think I had... Nothing.
That's been our show. I haven't kept track of the points, and I hope you haven't either. Bye.
I won that one.